Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board and taking your phone calls as well. It is Thursday, February 1st, 2024, 6 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big program. Glad to have you along. Can't believe it's February already. And of course, people, you know, announcers, is it February or February?
I don't know. I just say February because that's what I've always said.
Yeah.
February. Is it right? Is it wrong? I don't know.
Yeah. February. However you say it, we're in the second month of the year.
There we go.
Yeah. And tomorrow, one of my favorite all-time great holidays. It's an underrated holiday, in my opinion. Groundhog Day. And, you know, I used to work with a coworker, Mike, who he and his wife at the time did not like to send out Christmas cards. And so they'd send out Groundhog Day cards.
That's a good move. I might have to do that.
Yeah, pretty good. But anyway, yeah, Groundhog Day tomorrow. My mom used to read my sister and I a book. It's a great book called Will Spring Be Early or Will Spring Be Late? A great book. And what happens, not to spoil it, but the groundhog comes out and, you know, the pig is kind of the hog is the enemy in the book. He's very skeptical of the groundhog. And so a truck comes by and an artificial flower comes out and lands in the snow. And so the groundhog says, well, it's going to be an early spring. There's the flower. There's proof. He doesn't go by his shadow. And then the pig just destroys it and says, you know, this is just plastic. The groundhog's a fraud.
Wow.
It's kind of a dark book. Will spring be early or will spring be late? But anyway, and of course, you have here in Madison, in Wisconsin, you have Jimmy the Groundhog in Sun Prairie. And
my favorite groundhog.
Absolutely. Of course, there's Punxsutawney Phil out in Pennsylvania and the great movie by Bill Murray, Groundhog Day, which is fantastic. And you hear Sonny and Cher, that tune is just fantastic. I Got You, Babe, every season.
You're probably going to hear it tomorrow a lot.
Fantastic.
Not just here, just on all Civic Media shows. All over.
But it's a great movie, Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. But for my money, perhaps the greatest scene on Groundhog Day happened a few years back right here in Wisconsin, where they got Jimmy the Groundhog, a live groundhog. They disturbed him from his sleep, and they put him up to the mayor's ear to whisper whether it was going to be an early or a late spring. And the son of a gun bit the mayor's ear.
I love this story so much.
And it drew blood. And the mayor's like, oh, Jesus. You know, just the groundhog, he bit back. And I love every part of this thing. And I think it was fantastic that the groundhog had his say. And from then on, they've either left the groundhog in the cage, or I think now they're using like some person in a costume as a groundhog.
But that's lame.
Yeah, but I think they also have, and now the PETA people, the people for ethical treatment of animals, I'm not making this up, they are now protesting using any live animals to predict the weather.
I never thought for just pennies a day,
right,
you could prevent the groundhog from biting the mayor's ear.
What's that music?
Yeah.
There are groundhogs everywhere who are being mistreated. Jimmy needs your help. For only the price of a cup of coffee, you can make sure that Jimmy sleeps in his den all season long.
And they just have groundhogs sitting there looking sad at the camera.
Well, it'd have to be like a groundhog that's molting. That's a little undernourished, malnourished, with kind of weepy eyes.
And so my question is, do they just go and try and find groundhogs until they find one that's malnourished? Or do they malnourish a groundhog in preparation for this? Because that would be unethical treatment of animals.
Now there, exactly. Just trying to make that commercial would be unethical. I'm fine with using live groundhogs. They love it. I mean, what rodent gets that kind of attention? They love every minute of it, and they get to bite back. That's the great part. It's kind of like the reason I used to watch NASCAR for a minute, and I don't anymore. But there was a period in my life that I kind of watched NASCAR. And as terrible as this sounds, part of the reason that I loved watching NASCAR is because there was always the possibility for a terrible accident. That there could be crashes and chaos, and you never knew when it was going to come.
When I was little and I didn't understand that people could die doing that, I was just like, yeah, wait for the crashes.
Right. And it's the same thing with Groundhog Day. There's always a possibility for chaos and bloodshed, and the groundhog finally did it in Sun Prairie a few years back.
I couldn't be more proud.
Anyway, so it's Groundhog Day tomorrow. That's the point of the whole story. Also coming up at 1:30 here, a better storyteller than Todd, John Roach, a great writer, a screenwriter, a Renaissance man, an all-around great guy. John Roach will be here at the bottom of the hour. All right, I better get to this because I promoted it. I don't want people saying, Todd, what are you going to tell us the numbers? So I told you before the break, at the end of last hour, we talked about the Republican National Committee being broke. And this is completely serious. If you are a vendor, someone who sells product in Milwaukee, the greater Milwaukee area, if you have anybody from the Republican National Committee trying to do business with you, or as you say back in Richland County, business, if you got some business with them, get paid up front or get a good credit card. Because they'll leave town and they'll never pay it because the RNC is essentially broke. They're down to about $9 million cash on hand, which is nothing for a national party. And they're getting ready for this convention. And the fact that maybe part of the reason that they're broke, or essentially broke, the RNC, is because the person who's going to be their nominee, most likely, Donald Trump, is a misogynist. And now a convicted rapist. I'm sorry, sexual assault.
Or a liable.
Yes. New numbers have come out this morning, moments ago. Early afternoon, I guess, on Fox News. And I've told you this before, Fox, as much as Fox News is entertainment, and I don't trust them as a news source, their polling people are a separate entity. Remember, it was the Fox News pollster election desk that was the first to call Arizona for Joe Biden, handing him the presidency, and Trump was furious about it. So the Fox News poll is out. Here's what Fox News said. The hypothetical 2024 election matchup this year between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. In December, Fox News said 47% for Biden, 46% for Trump. A statistical dead heat. New numbers out this morning in a Quinnipiac University poll conducted January 25th to January 29th of 1,650 registered voters. And here's the important point. The plus or minus is 2.4%. So that means these numbers could be 2.4% higher or 2.4% lower. The numbers today, according to Fox News and Quinnipiac, says Joe Biden is now at 50%, Donald Trump, 44%, outside the margin of error. Again, in December, it was Joe Biden, 47, Trump, 46. Now, today, Joe Biden, 50%, Donald Trump, 44%. You see that? People are wringing their hands right now. You know, oh my gosh, you know, Joe Biden, it's going to be terrible. Why? We have to find somebody else. I can't believe I'm going to quote this idiot. But as Aaron Rodgers once said, R-E-L-A-X, relax. It's only going to get better as 2024 goes on. The economy is skyrocketing right now. People's retirement accounts are being built up. And yes, I get it. Some people, their personal economy isn't that great. But the funny thing is, when polls are taken, people say that their personal life is okay, that they're more worried about the actual bigger economy, which in reality, that's what's really taking off. You're going to hear a lot of misinformation about what's going on at the border. Again, Democrats and Republicans. Republicans, like Blankford of Oklahoma, one of the most conservative, have put on a real bill that will deal with immigration. Joe Biden said he'll sign it. And Republicans are killing the immigration bill. But as the year goes on, people will be reminded of the chaos and destruction that followed in the wake of Donald Trump for 4 years, and the leadership and the compassion of Joe Biden. And as Donald Trump attacks women, both figuratively and literally, as we hear from Republicans who really have no plan moving forward, Joe Biden's numbers will continue to go up. I'm telling you guys, 2024, going to be interesting, not going to be easy, but going to be a lot of fun. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Mary in listening in Wauwatosa. Mary, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Hi, Todd and Mr. Zomers. Thanks for this, as usual, great program. Regarding the upcoming election and our hope that President Biden will be our new president, a real concern that I'm having, and I want to get your feedback on this, is I'm hearing about Alan Collins, who I believe is in Congress. He's going to be challenging President Biden for the nomination, Democratic nomination. Now, he's not going to get it. My concern is if he were to go on to run as an independent, splitting the Democrats' vote, you know, similar to the no-name...
No labels party.
No label. What do you think? Are you hearing about this, and do you have any concern?
The short answer is no, but I'll go into it in more detail, but I appreciate the call, Mary. No, I don't. Because if you're looking at the governor from Maryland, help me out, Mr. Zomers, who just left No Labels, former Republican governor from Maryland who is part of No Labels there, he just left No Labels, all right? So No Labels is already falling apart because they can't.
Larry Hogan, that's
thank
what
you.
It was.
Thank you very much, Larry Hogan. And incidentally, if you wanted to hear more about that, tune in this Saturday after the Cripescast, because our new project, Lost in the Middle with Scott Klug, is going to be airing right here on this network after the Cripescast, and we'll have more on that. But no, I think Joe Biden will be the nominee. But yes, any third-party vote is a vote for Donald Trump. More on the other side. This is the Todd Allbull Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allbull Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along on a Thursday, February 1st, 2024, 20 now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Mr. Zomers on the board, answering your phone calls as well. Coming up after the 1:30 break, our friend John Roach is back on the show. Always great to have John along. Talk a little bit about his take on Taylor Swift and the uproar by white angry men. The NFL. The Super Bowl, Badger basketball, and whatever else is on John Roach's mind. It doesn't really matter because every conversation is a fantastic one. So looking forward to have John Roach at the bottom of the hour. Right now, talking about these new poll numbers from the Quinnipiac poll, Fox News also reporting it. The president of the United States, Joe Biden, now has a 6-point lead in a hypothetical matchup against former President Trump. 50% of the people say they'd vote for Biden today versus 44% for Trump. Biden also scored majority support among independents in the latest findings. 52% of independents support Joe Biden compared to 40% for Donald Trump. The poll additionally found a growing gender gap. Surprise, surprise. When it comes to support for the current and former presidents as they each run for a second term in the White House, 58% of women said they'll support Biden. 5-8. 58% support Biden, up from 53% in December. At the same time, 53% of men say they'll support Trump, largely unchanged from 51% in December. Quote, the gender demographic tells a story to keep an eye on. Propelled by female voters, in just the past few weeks, the head-to-head tie with Trump morphs into a modest lead for Biden, unquote, according to Tim Mallory from Quinnipiac University. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Go across the pond to Jay in London. Jay, thanks for listening. As always, what say you?
Well, Sammy, is I just want to thank you for your service from the previous hour. I was busy coming in the tube, coming home. So now I'm home. I say, let me thank my brother for the service that he's doing about Tony Evers. What's going on?
Well, I don't know. That's what we add. Look, I'll say again, I'm an Evers supporter, and I'm glad he's our governor instead of some Tim Michaels, because Wisconsin would look politically like Texas and Florida if Michaels had won. So I'm thankful for Evers. I support him. I'm just confused over this stance of saying that the Board of Regents and Jay Rothman are doing the best they can, which might be right. But if they can't do better, then get rid of them. And we need to speak out strongly about and have a real discussion on why our two-year campuses are struggling. Is it really because of this, lower enrollment? The better question is, the question that has to be asked is, what's leading to the lower enrollment? And I know in some cases, like Richland Center, you will find that is because the money wasn't put in for recruitment and retention.
Mm.
So it's a matter of Republicans underfunding it and the Board of Regents and the current president of the system not doing an adequate job of leadership. And Tony Evers, he's situated as the perfect person to address this. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say about the poll numbers that you are citing. A big statement. I will not be saying who is going to win. I'm going to wait until the day after the election. I can party. Right now, I'm going to be having anxieties every single day. Unbelievable.
Well, right. No, I mean, you're right, Jay. Thanks for calling. I always appreciate it. Jay over in London across the pond. Jay's right. The only poll that matters is the one on election night or the next morning, wherever we get the final numbers. And I'm not trying to be Pollyanna here. This is not going to be an easy race. There's going to be a lot of things that happen between now and November. All I'm saying is that people who are wringing their hands, and was it Mary that called in? Yes, there's still talk amongst progressives and liberals and whoever else. Oh, maybe we get this person to run. Maybe we can find someone other than Joe Biden. Why? Why would you want to change horses in midstream? And I'm a former Republican talking. A 30-year Republican is saying this, who has left the party. Joe Biden has the economy chugging along like almost in unprecedented fashion. Unemployment is the lowest in modern times. Joe Biden created more jobs than the last five administrations combined. We have a president who supports women's health care and the right to choose over their own body. We have a president who views all Americans as legitimate citizens and equality. And it's somebody who is compassionate, who actually cares about people. Why on earth would you change that? He rides a mountain bike. Joe Biden's in better physical condition than I am, probably. Oh, well, he's having mental problems. Again, I will say it for those in the back of the room. Joe Biden was born with a severe speech impediment. He is a stutterer. It doesn't leave you. He's done a remarkable job of overcoming it. It's still something he struggles with every day. Go read the Atlantic story that we've posted in our show notes before. His mental capacity is just fine. Thank you very much. And as someone who also was born with a speech impediment, I can tell you it can be a challenge to overcome it, and it has nothing to do with your mental capacity. So Joe Biden's great. He is in this to win this. He's ready to take people on. And the poll numbers are going up. And they're only going to keep getting better as Trump shoots off his mouth. as he attacks Nikki Haley, as he defames women, as he gins up hatred. Oh, sure, there's a portion of America that loves it. And I'm sorry, you know, if you got a Trump flag in the back of your truck, I probably can't help you. But if you're someone who votes for a local sheriff who happens to be Republican or register of deeds, and you've pulled the lever for both Republicans and Democrats in the past, I think that those folks are going to be smart enough, given the facts and the information, to choose for themselves and say, look, I might not always agree with Joe Biden on every policy, but as Liz Cheney, a former Republican congresswoman from Wyoming, has said, if you don't agree with Joe Biden's policy, we can get through bad policies. What we can't as America get through are assaults and attacks on the Constitution and the foundational democracy of which this Democratic Republic functions, which is what we will face in a second term of Donald Trump. I think once it gets down and people really realize it's Biden versus Trump again, I don't think there's going to be a lot of choice for most people. Yes, of course, there's going to be this third or whatever of America that's going to vote for Trump no matter what. But as we move closer down the road, I think people will come home and say, yes, we have to support Joe Biden and keep democracy as a foundational tenet of this republic. We're going to come back to the other side, going to talk to our friend John Roach, going to get his take on the Swifty debate. Get his take on the NFL, the Super Bowl, who he likes in the Super Bowl, and the Wisconsin Badger basketball team. And how are things up north at the cabin? All that and more with John Roach after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Thursday, February 1st on the Civic Media Radio Network. Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along with us. It is 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Time now, once again, to check in with one of our ongoing contributors here, favorite guest of the show and just all-around great guy, Mr. John Roach. He is a writer. He is a screenwriter. I call him a renaissance man. He's also an entrepreneur. And I said, John, before you came on, I've said this before, you're one of those kind of people that, you know, I could just have a glass of brandy or bourbon or scotch or a cup of coffee and just have a conversation. And that's what I love about you because of your takes on life. How you been?
Good, Todd. Good. That's high praise. Thank you. I've been good. I just returned from a week up north solo in the Arborvitae area where the snowmobile trails have yet to open in Vilas and Oneida County, which is unreal and tragic because of the economic impact for that part of the state. You know, a lot of those small businesses depend on that winter business to put them over the top for profit. And I think it's going to be devastating to the small businesses up there.
Yeah. I was just up in Superior last week covering President Biden being up there and then did a show in Superior, then came down to our station WBZH in Hayward and did a show there.
Sure.
And we're planning on going back up for the Birkenbeiner here the third week in February, but they're having real concerns because it starts in Cable and ends in Hayward. They're having real concerns that they're going to have enough snow. Now they can make snow, but if it stays above 40 degrees, you know, what do you do?
Well, the big economic driver in the winter is snowmobilers.
Yeah.
And you can't make snow for the snowmobile trails.
No.
You know, and so it's just tough. You know, those small restaurants and diners and hotels, it's just, you know, and a lot of those people live right on the edge of the economy anyhow up there. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I tell folks down south. I said, you don't really understand how tough it is up north. You know, every tavern you go into, they're doing a fundraiser for someone who doesn't have health care. The only people up there who have health care work for the state, the county, the municipality, or the local hospital.
Yeah.
You know, it's just tough. It's very tough, and they have my sympathy. But it was blissful up there, and it was wonderfully warm. There was standing water on our lake, which you don't see in the middle of January up there very often. And it's even perhaps, you know, those are, Vilas and Oneida counties are pretty red counties.
Right.
but I think it's actually giving some of them pause to consider that climate change may not be a hoax.
Really? You kind of hear that going to a fish fry or whatever, you hear people kind of talking about this. Well, geez, maybe there's something to this climate change.
Right. Now you can, you know, it's, you can't take 1 year as a sample and say, oh,
sure.
Because then, you know, the inverse is, oh, it's really cold and snowy this year, so climate change isn't real. You have to look at the long haul and, you know, the continuing, the world becoming hotter. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for old timers up there, this the amount of snow they've gotten up north has lessened through the years. The winters have been warmer. Mm-hmm. And this makes me worry about dry conditions for the summer up there.
Yeah. I just saw
lake levels will be down and the woods will be dry. That's not a good thing.
No, I just saw the forecast for the next month. Of course, these things change, but the estimates that scientists are saying above normal temperatures, below normal precipitation. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully not for our ag producers and other people, but it could be a tough year in terms of drought conditions if we don't get some moisture. I know, you know, going back to Richland County, we had our family farm, and even still, you know, whether even taking a walk at Picnic Point here in Madison, in your old stomping grounds at UW-Madison, to me, John Roach, the winter is a magical time, particularly when we do have snow, because it's just this silence, this quiet. And I find it extraordinarily meditative. As a writer, do you find that ideas, things come to you easier in that climate, or are your ideas not attached to the climate that you're in?
No, absolutely. Look, the way I wrote my column or screenplays, I'm a believer in writing ritual. My ritual was 2 cups of coffee, and at 7, I'd start writing, and I'd quit at noon. It's, you know, 5 hours straight is about as best as you can do. Mm-hmm. It always helps me if I have a vista where I look up from the laptop and I just stare out at a beautiful vista, because it becomes a tapestry upon which things can play out. And when you're really in the groove writing, you lose track of time. You are in the story you're writing. You know, it's like being in Vegas where there, you know, there's no sense of passage of time. There's no windows. You know, you just get in that zone, and it's really productive. And I think there's ritual to that. My wife gave me a beautiful book about 20 years ago called Writers and Their Places. And it was just pictures of the writing rooms or areas for all of the greatest contemporary American writers. And then just a little paragraph about what they did to get in the zone.
Wow.
And it's really fascinating. But yeah, so here's the thing about the winter. There's no one up there.
Right.
I love solitude. You know, when I built our cabin, when we built our little cabin, I found an Esquire magazine article. And this was just at the advent of cable news. The internet hadn't even blown up. But he wrote this piece for Esquire, which was a magazine at the time.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist anymore, right. Just like Sports Illustrated, where he said the three rarest commodities in the modern world are silence, solitude, and darkness. Mm-hmm. And I have all three up north during the winter. It's quiet, it's silent, and it's, you know, there's no ambient light. There's no light pollution. You can go out on a moonless night and almost read a book by starlight.
Wow.
On one of those crystal cold nights. So, no, I love it up there. It's blissful.
It's one of those things, I think, living in Wisconsin too often that we take for granted, at least I do, and just realizing that even if we live in a city, you don't have to drive all that far to be in the environment that you just described. And that's not the case in a lot of places across the country.
Right. And so, let's be honest, winter makes you tougher.
Exactly. I believe
there are
that.
A lot of people who, you know, don't split wood and put wood up, and they just flee cold temperatures. You know, winters make for hardy stock. And I think it's part of the Wisconsin personality, Minnesota as well.
Where is Leo Chanel from? He played for the Badgers, and now he's with Kansas City. And was it the AFC Championship or the game? No, the game before in Kansas City where it was below zero. And he showed, there's a picture of him. He shows up at the game in shorts.
Right.
And he's like, hey, in Wisconsin, in northern Wisconsin where he's from, this is nothing.
This is like the last game of my high school team in November. You know,
right.
So yeah, it's and you know, Todd, one thing I've always thought too is that the four distinct seasons of Wisconsin help you keep track of your life. You know, it makes you more aware of the passing of time. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always said there's a reason women in grandmothers in Los Angeles dress like they're teenagers. They don't know their grandmothers because there are no seasons in Los Angeles. They're not aware that time is passing. And so they're dressed in embarrassing fashion. But here in Wisconsin, we know when fall passes to winter to spring to summer. And, you know, each one is a notch, you know, in your own personal life's calendar. And, you know, I like it. I'm always tickled by the first snow.
Oh, me
and
too.
I love big snowfalls. Yes. I just love them.
Yep, me too. So we brought up the Super Bowl kind of tangentially there. I want to get your take. We spent 2 hours talking about this yesterday. And I want your take on this, John Roach, as a person who loves sports, who is a guy of all kinds of knowledge here. What do you make of this? You've been around a few more years than I have. I just think that Taylor Swift is a young person, a young woman, who for me embodies, hey, I'm a woman. I'm not going to let misogynistic men in my industry. I mean, you've worked in film and in Hollywood, dominated by men. And this is a young woman that said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm taking my songs back. I'm going to do it my way. She's a billionaire, probably arguably the biggest pop star right now in the world. She signed up 40,000+ people to vote, didn't ask their party, just said go and vote, predominantly young people. And these white, angry Republican men are calling her the Antichrist and making up all kinds of crap about her with her and Travis Kelce. What say you, John Roach?
Well, the radical right males are always afraid of powerful women. You know, they loathe Hillary Clinton. They loathe Michelle Obama. And again, I make this distinction, the radical right Republicans. Mm-hmm. And they're weak men. Okay? They're weak men. And they find comfort in Donald Trump. You know, the one quote is, you know, Donald Trump is a weak man's idea of a strong man. A poor man's idea of a rich man. And there's a third to the trilogy, but so this is no surprise. The fact that Jesse Watters at Fox whipped up a conspiracy theory about it is laughable. I mean, it's like the end stage of right-wing conspiracy theories when somehow you think that Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift and the Democrats have managed to pull off a conspiracy to have Kansas City in the Super Bowl. And in the same breath, they say that Joe Biden has dementia. It's like, well, it's one thing or the other, right? Either the Democrats are incompetent or they're masterminds. Make up your mind. The other thing is, how can a Republican rip one of the most successful capitalists in America this year,
right?
Taylor Swift? She put on a tour de force of capitalism this year. And remember, as an artist, artists contribute. Every artist is an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what she is self-made. She comes from humble means, mm-hmm. and through dint of talent and sheer hard work and struggle, she's made herself one of the most successful artists in the world. And she worked her buns off this year.
Yeah.
She's a hard worker. She's a much harder worker than a lot of those radical right guys who are ripping her. That's for damn sure.
Totally agree.
And by the way, you know, I don't know how real their romance is. I mean, I think it's a real romance. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long it's going to go, you know?
Right.
But I think there's something sweet about it. And I also think it's amazing that the NFL has managed to capture the one demo they didn't have.
Right.
Young teenage girls.
Right.
And Taylor Swift has brought them that. So that makes them a marketing juggernaut even further. And also I found myself thinking about this issue of all these guys who are, you know, don't like seeing shots of Taylor Swift, which is like, man, you got to lighten your ass up.
Right.
But here's what I really think. If this was modern day, if the Joe DiMaggio Marilyn Monroe romance had taken place during the era of modern media, they would have had a picture of Marilyn Monroe, a shot of Marilyn Monroe up at every single Yankee game, every time she showed up.
Absolutely.
There's no question about it. And by the way, if the Beatles showed up at a football game, they'd have shots of them as well.
Right.
You know, well, hell, they had shots of Chris Christie in Jerry Jones' box, for God's sake.
How about Matthew McConaughey, right? All right, all right, all right.
Yeah,
every
right.
Texas game.
At the Texas games, yeah. Right. Yeah. No, look, these are sad men, Todd. They're weak men and sad men. And also, let's not kid ourselves. The NFL is entertainment. Taylor Right. Swift is entertainment. It is distraction. It's what we do so we don't have to look at our own sad lives. Okay? And God knows the NFL is wonderful because it takes place in the winter where you can't even go outside. Right. So I just think this is laughable. But the most laughable thing was this Jesse Water, which, by the way, if you saw his quote, he qualified it so as not to be sued.
Right.
He said, no, I don't know. I don't have any facts to prove this, right. But here's my lame brain conspiracy. And I laughed at that because, Fox News lost, was found liable for $780 million right. in the election machine
Dominion.
Lawsuit. Yeah. And so he put a big, blunt disclaimer that effectively said, I'm stupid and I have no facts, but here's my theory, which is like, okay, that makes it even more comical.
Right. No, you know? I think Taylor Swift is fantastic. And of course, our very own from Wisconsin, Pewaukee, is J.J. Watt, who's now, of course, retired from the NFL and a commentator on CBS.
Yeah.
I think he was on ESPN, and he said, Taylor Swift is the biggest star in the world. Get over it. good for J.J. Watt.
Todd, they're a beautiful couple. She's right? a beautiful woman. He's a handsome guy. It's yeah. two young people at the crescendos of their careers, and they found someone to share it with, yeah. at least in the near term. I'm not betting that it's a marriage or anything. Famous people have a real hard time with marriages sometimes. But it's certainly a wonderful distraction.
We'll come back and get John's prediction for the Super Bowl. Also talk Badger basketball. Don't go anywhere. It's the Tahlo Ball Show with John Roach on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Tahlo Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock at the top of the hour. National news followed by weather across the state of Wisconsin. And then our friend and colleague, Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct, will step into these airwaves. Always interesting. Matt reminds us, fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. He'll take us to the front lines of history being made. Mr. Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct. Isn't that a great... I want t-shirts. John Roach joins us. Author, writer, screenwriter, renaissance man, all-around great person. John, always appreciate your monthly visits. Wouldn't that be a great t-shirt? Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet.
These are the weirdest times, Todd.
Yeah.
And I personally think... and again, I qualify this. The far-right Trumpist sect... and Donald Trump himself, I view them as an existential threat to our democracy. Yeah. I've never seen anything like it in my 70 years, and I don't think it's anything to be taken lightly.
Yeah, totally agree. Let's flip the page just a little bit and go to, first of all, I want to get your prediction because I talked about it on the other side. Super Bowl, sure. The 49ers and the Chiefs. What say you, John Roach?
I like the Chiefs. Brock Purdy has had a wonderful run, but I think there's a lot to be said for you look at your quarterbacks and bet on the best quarterback, and Patrick Mahomes is clearly the best quarterback. I also think that Andy Reid's going to outcoach the 49ers coach. The 49ers are young, and they're talented, but I think Kansas City is in a groove. I love Pacheco, their running back. I love Valdez-Scantling is going to drop a big pass. I'll tell you that right now.
But he caught one in the championship.
Yeah, you shouldn't celebrate when you catch one pass as a pro. But also, I think that the Chiefs' defense has improved.
Yes.
And I just think they're a team on the uptick. The Packers could have beat the 49ers
yes. Yes.
had two plays gone the other way.
I think
it's going to be the Chiefs.
I think the Packers and, quite frankly, the Lions exposed that the 49ers defense has some problems. And Chris the Bear yeah. Felica from used to be
you
from
can
ESPN.
Run on him for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he used to be with ESPN. Now I think he's with NBC. Chris Felica. He tweeted at the beginning of the game against the Detroit Lions, he said, wow, the 49ers defense is kind of stinky. And then a few minutes later, he tweeted out and said, check that. The 49ers defense is terrible. And again, just like the Packers, I think Detroit could have and maybe should have won that game against the 49ers.
Right. Well, you know, the Lions coach lived by the sword and died by the sword going for it on fourth down. But here's the thing. I really like rooting for the Chiefs. I think they're an immensely entertaining team to watch. Mahomes is a freak. He's next to Aaron Rodgers, he was the most interesting quarterback to watch in the last 5 years.
Yep.
He's creative. He's immensely talented physically. He's got a great arm, and he's the perfect quarterback for Andy Reid's system.
Totally agree. Let's move closer to Wisconsin, your alma mater. The Wisconsin Badgers have a big game tonight down in Nebraska. One of our viewers and listeners says he's a Nebraska fan. He thinks that the Cornhuskers are going to knock off the Badgers tonight. Wisconsin sits atop of the Big Ten right now at 16-14 overall, 8-1 in the Big Ten. Cornhuskers not doing poorly, 15-6 overall, 5-5 in the conference, but they are undefeated, John Roach, at home. Number 6, Wisconsin takes on Nebraska. What say you?
I think in the Big Ten this year, every home team is the favorite. Winning on the road in the Big Ten is very difficult. Nebraska reminds me a lot of Northwestern, where they're just, you know, a traditionally moribund program that's on the uptick. And it would not be a shocker if they knocked off the Badgers. But for all the people talking smack about the Cornhuskers, I would just note that the Badgers have only one loss in the Big Ten and are on top of the league, and they're ranked 6th in the nation. The Cornhuskers aren't. So I wouldn't get too far out over your skis. Mm-hmm. And I would also remind you how the Cornhuskers have fared in football since they joined the Big Ten. I always love the Cornhuskers in the Big Ten. I was at the first Nebraska-Wisconsin game when Nebraska played their first Big Ten football game in the league. And I went to that game and I was really happy because I looked around. I said, oh my God, thank God. We are no longer the fattest people dressed in red in the Big Ten. With the addition of Nebraska. God bless the Cornhuskers.
I had a lot of hope because this will be the Barry Alvarez connection and everything. It's going to be a great rivalry, but you can't have a rivalry if only one team basically wins all the time.
Yeah. But going back to basketball, you know, it's really easy to be happy for Greg Gard.
Yes.
And I did something today that I do every once in a while. I went back 1 year on Facebook and trolled a couple basketball threads where everyone was calling for Greg Gard's head, including a blog post that Dave Cheslevich did last year saying, fire Greg Gard. And I just said, Your Honor, this blog post has not aged well.
Of course, Dave Cheslevich, former mayor of Madison.
former mayor of Madison. Good guy.
Yeah.
I like his blogs. He's kind of become wonderfully curmudgeonly in his dotage, which I kind of like. And he's not predictably liberal.
Right.
But he said, yeah, it's time to let go of Greg Gard. But Greg Gard is a sneaky good coach, always has been, very easy to underestimate. But look what he has done back-to-back, probably two of the best portal transfer between Klesmit and Storr.
Right.
He could have the MVP of the Big Ten and the Freshman of the Year in the Big Ten with Storr and Blackwell. A lot of games to be played yet.
Yep.
But he has the deepest team Wisconsin's seen in a long time. They play a more open brand of basketball because he has the horses to do it now. Mm-hmm. And it's really – Greg is an easy guy to be happy for.
Yes. He's a great guy. He went to school at Platteville the same time I did, and then it was his first year being a student assistant under Bill Ryan at Platteville. I know you've spoken with former Coach Ryan. He's a great guy. I remember at the beginning of this season, Coach Ryan said, this team's going to be good. No, really good. He doesn't say stuff like that very often.
Well, you know why? Because Bo goes to the early practices, and he saw AJ Storr in practice. That's why he said that. Because AJ Storr has skills, and he's not even done developing, Todd. He's going to get so much better in another year or two under the Wisconsin system. I know the NBA scouts are already showing up.
Yep.
He's got some raw skills. I think he needs to refine a little bit. But man, he is exciting.
You can hear the Wisconsin Badger basketball game across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Tip-off time, 7:30 from Lincoln tonight. Matt LaPay, of course, on the call. You can hear it across the Civic Media Network, or just go to the Civic Media app and click on WRCE, News from the Center in Richland Center. It is free, the Civic Media app. John Roach, these conversations are free, but it always fills my heart and soul. Thank you so much for taking the time with us today. Really appreciate it, my friend.
Thanks, Todd.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. John Roach, stay tuned. Tomorrow we have Trigvi Olsen as guest host. I'll be back on Monday. Until then, this is Todd Allball saying, whatever you're fighting for, keep banging your drum.